Thank you for being patient. Weibo Wanderwai, everyone. Obviously, my name is Raylene Cooper. I've been campaigning against Woodside, oil and gas, state government, federal government, well, anyone who keeps trying to, you know, stop me from doing what I'm doing. look, I haven't prepped, so please bear with me. Obviously, this is a great photo because I love this photo because it's the photo that was taken in Sydney when we had our first hearing with the state, with federal government, Murray Watts. And it was basically after he had announced when he became, position and chair role with the Water Environment Minister federally. And he came out 2 weeks later and basically said, I'm going to, you know, give way to the unapproved Northwest Shelf. Well, excuse the French, but I was like, fuck no, that's not happening in my time. And so I got really, really, really pissed off about it. And I think I was more pissed off than I was hurt. Because it was like, who the hell do you think you are and how dare you? I've been waiting 3.5 years in February 22. I had submitted to the federal government, and Tanya Plibersek at that time was in power in that seat, Water and Environment Minister. And yeah, they should have sacked her because she did a 360 on everything that her role and her title and duty was. Everything, just 360 on it and just did nothing. So realistically, I'd have sacked her a long time ago. Anyway, she came and spent an hour with me after spending hours with Mudruga back in 23. And I'd like to say it was a great meeting, but it wasn't. She really wasn't interested, and I think it was just a photo opportunity, really. And it seems to be like that way with a lot of politicians. And anyway, in saying that, nothing was done. Obviously, Murray Watts gets in the seat and this is what he states. And it started from there. I then had been speaking with some close allies, behind the scenes. And we spoke about how we're going to deal with this situation. And I can't allow this to happen because it didn't feel right. And if it doesn't feel right, it's not right, yeah? So some legal teams started speaking with some legals, and obviously the mandamus conversation started, and it was basically to force the minister into, like, it was an unreasonable of them to wait so long to make a decision on my section 10, and in the meantime, while everyone was sitting on their fat asses, in the ASFA office and the ASFA team that was supposed to be looking at it. Meanwhile, Maingora, the country, was being destroyed, literally. So they started the Perdaman project. They put the causeway in. It was just became so intense at home. And I'd go there frequently, take my dogs and, my family, and right where they are if you haven't been there. So obviously it's been such a big thing, going back and forth, and obviously, with Woodside 2000, we won the case when they were basically, I had to prove to NOPSEMA, federal government, that I, am relevant to start the consultation processes. I'm a relevant person to be speaking for this place. Like, I had to prove basically in a native title process that this is who I am. I have got relevance. This is what I'm fighting for. And so we went to court for that, and obviously then the next, it was obviously stated then, I was in Melbourne doing a conference, and my legal team at the time, EDO, had contacted me, and it took a long time for them to, we built this trust up, and for EDO to basically, I'm like, listen, I know what they're going to do next. They are going to do this. We need to get an injunction organised. It took a long time for me to... for them to pursue this because they're like, we need more evidence. And I'm like, I'm telling you, I know how they're so predictable. We know what they're like. And so basically, I was fortunate enough for them to get the paperwork and everything organised. And obviously, I got the phone call in Melbourne. They're going, look, they're going to start the seismic testing. And I'm like, well, you got the paperwork, make your way to the court and submit it. So that was, I guess, a foot in front. Yes, we won the case with Woodside to stop the seismic testing, and NOPSEMA basically failed, and they're still failing. And the information over this last 3.5 years, because I'm still in consultation processes with Woodside, and obviously the Trunkline one was the last, and this is basically for prepping the Northwest Shelf Star. There's nothing there. There's no more oil or gas there. There's nothing. Anyway, so in saying that, we won the case. 2 weeks later, they, you know, just juggled a few words in the NOPSEMA, environmental plan, and bang, it was on again. So it's a machine that just keeps going. And government is, look, over in Western Australia, there is no... Everybody knows, and whoever doesn't know, then they got blinkers on or they just don't want to know. But that place is run by the likes of Woodside, right? By the likes of Chevron's, by the likes of the Santos's, by the likes of all oil and gas. And we got these little puppets, Roger Cook, you know, all these little puppets who are getting puppeteered by, you know, the likes of Meg O'Neill's of the world, all right? And this is how it is. It really is. You know, I've learnt so much, and I do, I sometimes think to myself, Jesus, where have you been? You've had your head in a rock all these years or what? Here I am fighting the fight at home amongst my own people in my own little lunchbox, and then obviously understanding what's going to happen with what happened in Murujuga. And I had to step away from Murujuga because it was like, this is not what we're here for. We're not here to destroy this shit. We are here as custodians to look after our rock art, the environment, everything that is us. And it seemed within that space with MAC, Murujuga Aboriginal Corporation, I couldn't be a part of it. And as I know now, there are a lot of individuals who are in that space who are vested interest in it because they're getting financially funded by these huge projects with contracts that they've made with the Woodsides of the world and state government. They all work hand in hand. It's as easy and simple as that. I'm not the most liked person, and I was alienated from my community all this time, and now the real truth's starting to seep out. People are starting to go, oh, well, she's not as stupid as she seems, and she's, yes, I do have an attitude, but they like to portray me as a real angry black woman. Sometimes, yes, but can you understand? You know, I mean, come on, but they love to do that. The day of this meeting we had, the day I sat back and the ASPA team came with me, I don't know, hey, this is me losing my shit. This is the angry black woman. I was crying and screaming, and I didn't even know what I was that same day. I was so angry and so pissed off, but I was hurting so much that they would come there, and pretty much before I even jumped out of the car, after being ordered by the federal courts that you now have to deal with me and whatever's going on and sort this out, the Section 10 decision. So basically, this meeting this particular day for my Section 10 with the ASPA team that sat on up for 3.5 years, right? They came there basically for a photo opportunity because they weren't going to talk about anything. What they did, they came out and they said, oh, we're going to give her an hour. This is one project. We're not even talking about the four other ones that are there. So this is, you're talking about 4,900, and my son will give me 63 hectares of land, and when you go back to the other picture, you'll see how big it is. But it takes up a good majority of chunk of where you're coming into Dampier or Hearson's, which is a community area. And so this, every time I was coming back, look, in a few more months, they're going to turn the green light on. What then? I didn't know. But anyway, had the big argument with them on Ngora. And basically, it was like she turned around and said to me, made me lose my shit more. We've got other people to see. And I'm just like, are you for real? Are you serious right now? And then obviously words I cannot say. And it's like, you mean you've come here, flown 7 hours to get here from the East Coast, where my team has come from, my legal team. And as soon as they got up, within half an hour, we were on in the working. Going through the Section 10, the protections, this is what we want, this is what we've asked for, doing the work. They've come there thinking, we'll just give her an hour and it'll be all good. Well, shit, they wanted to get on that plane and go after I started losing it. And I was so angry. But it was basically, you're going to give me an hour, you've got other people to meet, what the people, Woodside, Murujuga, Perdaman, for 3.5 years, you've been talking with them. But you're going to give me an hour? All right, so yeah, so you can understand, I am an angry black woman. And I don't need to be a black woman to be angry. You could be any culture that you need to be. Mm. And then have that disrespect like that. Mm. The lack of respect that they showed for the memory of my mother, which made me lose my shit. I had my team there, my family there. Mm. All right? We've come all the way. We had, and usually when we have in, you know, a group of people coming to Murujuga and they want to talk to us, we invite them to come to the Mura and we give them a tour and a welcome to country. So it keeps them protected and safe. We've had a lot of the, you know, DBH mob and others, individuals, Sophie McNeil, the Greens, all of these people who come, and we show them why this place, what it means to us and why it's so special to us, and what it really means. And that's respect. That's bringing in. Regardless whether we're already debating things, it is the way we are. We are oral storytellers and we're telling a yarn here and we're showing you something that's evidence and facts. This is real, right? And so when they bring this shit out and they're too worried about this, but they only want to protect one. Does anyone even see this square? So out of all of that, what you're seeing, this here is actually fenced off. It's got one square little, I don't know, about that big, and it just says Aboriginal site. It says don't, you know, destroy this, don't destroy that, blah, 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 blah. And that's it. That is the only thing they've protected there.
Wow.
So, yeah. But anyway, so at the end of the day, the meeting didn't go well to plan. We wanted to show them our place, give them a tour, go to see these significant areas that were directly involved into Section 10, what we want to look after, is particularly, well, everything really, but these were the places that they would only look at, and even that. So I guess the meeting didn't happen. So I refused to meet them. Anyway, the legal term, I went home, I was bawling. I was so angry, and I was angry and crying at the same time. How disrespectful are you? And I felt like, well, you knew this was going to happen. Why are you feeling so upset about this? You know, and it's like, well, it's a kick in the teeth, and how dare they disrespect the memory of my mother and my family's. So that's what made me really lose my shit. But in saying that, you know, my legal team's come over there and they're trying to talk to me and negotiate, and they've told them, look, you're gonna have to, oh, well, we'll give her till 3 o'clock. And I was like, you know what they can do with their 3 o'clock? They can fit it where the sun don't shine. I ain't giving them shit. They don't deserve to hear my story. They don't deserve to be shown our story, the rocks or anything. They don't deserve nothing and they're not worthy of it. They're not worthy of my time. They're not worthy of my team's time. They're not worthy of anything. So you know what? Keep posted, all right? Because this is not over. It's now just beginning.